Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Sorry for the delay there. We're just going through some charts with Josh. I want to think through this with you guys on this live stream with the flattening of the yield curve. I'm going to focus on the twos and the tens, so the two-year treasury notes and then the 10-year treasury bonds. Try to understand how this dynamic works. I want to go back to the 1950s and look at when the yield curve has inverted and what this means for recession probabilities, and try to think through what would need to happen in order for the yield curve to invert in 2022, giving us that ominous warning once again. So let me do a screen share, and I want to encourage all of you guys to listen to Jeff Snyder and Emil Kalinowski's most recent podcast episode. Their podcast is Making Sense, Eurodollar University, and they go over how the yield curve is flattening, kind of how bogus the Phillips curve is and whatnot. But let's get right into the first chart. And let's see. We'll start with the spread between the 10-year treasury and the 2-year treasury note. So this goes back to 1976. And what we can see here, actually fast forwarding to today, is the yield curve is flattening significantly. And this is the delta between the twos and the tens. And this is what Snyder and Emil were talking about. And you can also do the 1 year and the 10 year. Usually mainstream media focuses on the twos and the tens. So as this line goes down and gets closer to zero, and if we get an inversion, you can see pretty much every single time we have an inversion, we also get a recession. And I knew that, but what I hadn't really thought through is, okay, on this hand, I realized that when we get an inversion in the yield curve, you almost always have a recession. But how many times have we had a recession when there was not an inversion in the yield curve, right? We know that this is a good predictor. In fact, probably the best predictor that we have of a recession. But does it... Is it a requirement? Is it a prerequisite to a recession? I think that's a different question. And for that information, I was looking at this chart. Let's see if we can expand, try to blow this up for you guys. All right, there we go. So this is the chart flipped upside down. So now the inversion is at the top instead of the bottom. And this is the 1 year treasury minus the 10-year treasury, 3-month moving average. So again, we can see that when we have had recessions in the past, they've been preceded by an inversion in the yield curve. But then the question is, have we ever had a recession without an inversion? And going back to 1955, the answer is no. So we've got and the shaded lines are recessions. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Call it 5 there with 1. We'll call it 6, 7, 8. We've had 8 recessions since 1955. And none of them were not preceded, or should I say, all of them were preceded by an inversion in the yield curve. So I guess the takeaway there is one thing we already knew. And that's that if you get an inversion, the probability is extremely high you have a recession. But if you don't get an inversion, the probability of a recession is actually very low. So now let's go back to this original chart and try to think through what would be required for this dot to go down below zero. So right now, the 10-year treasury is trading at one, we'll call it 1.7, 1.8. All right. And the Fed is talking about raising interest rates 3 times in 2022. So let's just assume that they raise it 25 basis points. So that takes Fed funds, the range, to 0.75, 75 basis points, and 1%. Now it's from 0 to 25 basis points. So let's assume that they get rates up to 1% in that range, Fed funds. And let's just assume that the 2-year or the 1-year is trading right at Fed funds, or maybe a little bit higher. So let's just assume Fed funds 1%. Let's say the 2-year treasury at, we'll call it maybe 1.2%. So then trying to think through what would need to happen in order for the 10-year to get below that bogey of, call it 1.2%, assuming that's where our 2-year is, if the Fed gets rates up to, call it 75 basis points, 1%, right around there, Fed funds. So we're at 1.7, 1.8. That means that we need to come down, call it 60 plus basis points in order for the curve to invert. Well, let's go back to the Cervasa sickness. We've got right here, it's March of 2020. We had the 10-year trading at 65 basis points. So it's definitely possible to have an inverted yield curve, even if the Fed funds is only at, let's say, 1%. But back during this time, CPI was not 7%, not even close. And in fact, back during this time, if you guys remember, the boogeyman was still deflation. The Fed was coming out and saying they've got to fight deflation, we got to fight deflation. That was the scary monster underneath your bed at night. Now it's the complete opposite. So you would assume that market psychology would have shifted slightly from being super concerned about deflation to being super concerned about inflation. Therefore, I would argue that even if we have a stock market crash, which would most likely take capital over to the treasury market, the quote-unquote safe haven, the probability that it gets down to 65 basis points again, probably pretty low. But what's the chance that it gets to 1.2 when we're at 1.8 today? I don't know. I mean, I could see that actually panning out. I mean, and it seems insane to say that you could see the 10-year trading at 1.2% with headline CPI being at 7%. But we just have to understand that in times of quote-unquote crisis, people are buying treasuries just as a safe haven. They don't care that there's a negative yield when you adjust for inflation. They just want, they have to have cash on their balance sheet, especially these large pools of money. So the question is not, well, why would anyone buy a treasury when there's when you're for sure going to lose money as far as purchasing power because there's a negative yield? The question is, these large pools of money have two options. So what are you going to do? You're going to hold cash or you're going to hold treasuries? If you hold the cash, now you're getting paid 0%. So you've got an even larger negative carry than if you had a treasury that was yielding 1.2%. So given those two options, maybe a lot of these large pools of money or the quote-unquote market would choose to own a treasury over cash when it's a cash or cash equivalent type thing for their balance sheet.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
especially if you have a market crash that is very disorderly, like we saw in March of 2020. And you say, well, George, then the Fed will just come back and reverse course and do a QE, and they'll just reinstate the Fed put. Well, maybe, maybe not. I think it depends on what inflation is doing at the time. I think what the unemployment rate is doing. There's a lot of different factors. We're not living in a disinflationary environment as of right now. So the playbook that the Fed has had since 2008, as far as when the market gets a little uneasy, oh, we'll just go ahead and do more quantitative easing. That's not exactly the playbook that they can go to at moment's notice right now. So it's very weird because I don't see how you avoid a recession if the stock market crashes by 20 or 30%, and assuming the Fed doesn't step in to kind of introduce more liquidity. And I think it would have to be not only the Fed, but it'd have to be the government, because I think monetary policy has kind of got to the point where you're pissing in the wind a little bit. I think it now requires fiscal policy to be combined with that monetary policy. And is the government going to come out and be willing to take all this action in the form of fiscal deficit spending, like a CARES Act 2.0, if the headline CPI is still at 7%? I don't know. I have no idea. And I think that's where we most likely get price controls. You know, maybe that's how the curve inverts. Now that I'm thinking this through, maybe we get price controls. Maybe they peg the 10-year, continue taking the front end up to where it's inverted, but then the government comes in with fiscal while at the same time implements price controls. That, because see, I've had a lot of discussions with Lynn Alden about this, and she believes the Fed is even more concerned about the credit markets than they are about the stock market. So they could come in and, if they did yield curve control, then they would have to go back to buying bonds, basically quantitative easing. So maybe that's it. Maybe we see this scenario play out where they continue to maintain this hawkish stance. They raise interest rates. They start quantitative tightening. As a result of maybe some other black swan event, the stock market goes down by 20, 30% disorderly fashion. They're backed up into a corner because of inflation where they can't do anything. The politicians are breathing down their back to support the market and somehow reduce the rate of inflation. Powell tells Biden, that ain't going to happen. That's not possible for me to do. So then the Biden administration says, okay, well, we've got to prop up the market somehow. Well, let's just reintroduce stimmy checks. Let's do PPP. In fact, I had a story pulled up about how, and I believe I did this last week, actually, where the Restaurant Association, the National Restaurant Association, going back to the government to try to get more PPP loans because of the recent scariant. So you can see the government deficit spending with another CARES Act 2.0. The Fed comes in, tries to prop up the market by pinning the long end of the curve, buying those bonds to keep the credit markets as liquid as possible. The government spends money, understanding that it's inflationary, but to combat the inflation, they do price controls. So they give people money, they increase aggregate demand, but then they try to control prices by basically capping them, the same thing the Fed is doing at the long end of the yield curve. Fed continues to raise rates while at the same time doing quantitative easing, basically. And so they're bringing the front end up to try to combat. They'd probably stop raising rates if they buy the long end. But if they buy the long end, then we could see the long end dip below their target range like we did in the 1940s. Most people remember that we had yield curve control in the 1940s, but what they don't realize is that for significant periods of time, the interest rate would actually go below their target, which would imply their target really didn't mean anything. So yeah, I would be very curious to see how the long end of the curve, assuming the Fed gets up to 1%, they do price controls, they do fiscal, they try to cap it at, let's say, 1.5%, you know, does it trade below? I think it depends on the stock market and the capital flows from risk on to risk off. So I, as you guys can tell, I'm thinking through this out loud. Not that I have a definitive answer for you, but it's because I think it's something we should all be considering as Rebel Capitalists and prudent investors, because it goes back to that Lenin quote that I always use. And in 2021 and in 2020, I think there were weeks that went by where we saw decades happen. You know, the quote is there's decades that happen that go by when nothing happens. And then there's weeks that go by when decades happen. And I think we saw that from a standpoint of freedom, liberty, or lack thereof in 2020 and 2021. But I think 2022 will move from that being a truism with freedom and liberty. And we will also include macroeconomics. I think on a macro level with the markets, you're going to see weeks go by where we have, you know, where there's decades that happen. And this is everything I'm talking about right here, as far as the yield curve, the long end, the short end, the stock market, price controls. This all plays into what is going to happen, basically to your portfolio and your financial freedom. So let's pay attention to this. And I think as a group, we really need to think through how would the yield curve invert in 2022? Like how, let's take those steps and how could we get there? And therefore, what is the probability? Because then we can determine if we see a recession. And then if you are someone that believes we are going to have a recession, then you set your portfolio up this way. If you're someone that believes we will not have a recession, then you might set your portfolio up in a completely different way. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Always stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.